Well, it's not the Beatles, but it is music from Boston.
See?
My hometown. So
I was thinking about you.
So this works. This is my hometown. I've been.
Do you like this song?
Oh, yeah. This is awesome.
It's a great song, huh?
Yeah. I've seen them in fact, I did a live interview with their lead singer years ago when they came to Fargo. That was a real thrill.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yes. But, you know, I say it's my hometown, but I've really spent most of my life in North Dakota. I grew up, I thought I would be in North Dakota 2 or 3 years, and it's turned into 40. So North Dakota is home. And speaking of home, we have another North Dakotan with us right now. His name is David Owen. And hopefully that name rings a bell. David is maybe I would say the key backer for recreational marijuana in the state. He had it on the ballot in 2018. It went down 59% to 41%. This time he's going to bring it back, hopefully for the election of November 2020 when we'll vote on it again, but it'll be different. So, David, good morning. Nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, the obvious question is, how will this measure, because obviously you can't put on the same measure from last time and have it go down in flames again. So how will this measure be different than the last one in pushing for legalized recreational marijuana?
So there's really three aspects in which this measure is different. The first is kind of creating a full regulatory framework from the first day. That includes possession limits. That includes regulations on who can grow, how you can grow, where you can buy it. Advertising, licensing, those sorts of things. The second difference is we're giving local communities the ability to opt out of having a dispensary in their town. So let's say you're in Gackle, North Dakota, or Manvel, North Dakota, and you don't want a dispensary in your town. You'll have the legal authority to say no dispensaries in my town.
So that would
please
be up.
Thank you.
That would be up to the city council in a given town, or who would decide that?
It depends on how the city is structured. Some are a straight mayor without a city council. Some are a city council. But whatever the governing body of that town is would be able to decide whether or not they want a dispensary in their municipality.
Interesting.
So that's the second difference. And then the third difference is we've cleaned it up in regards to protections for children. So one of the big concerns the opposition had was, well, what if children get into this? So step one, plain packaging law. You can't have imagery designed to market to children on the packaging. Step two, childproof seal. So now we've got two layers of protection. It's not going to be advertised to them, and even if they try to get into it, they can't in theory. And then step three, if it's in the home with more than an ounce of marijuana, you have to keep it under lock and key, similar to how parents are recommended to keep their firearms under a lock of some description. So now we've got three layers of redundancy.
Haven't you also changed the taxing? As I recall, the last time they really, it was very vague how that would work, and now this time you're making it clear that the state will get revenue out of the sales of recreational marijuana. Am I right about this?
You're 100% correct. So how this one will work is it's a 10% excise tax in addition to your local city or city sales tax. So if you're in Fargo, North Dakota, you'll pay effectively a 17% tax rate. On that 10% marijuana tax, it would first go to sustain the program. So cost of the program would be paid for out of that tax. And then the money would be allocated 50% to the general fund, 10% to addiction services, and the remainder we kind of outline. But the key was to give the legislature control over about half of the funding so that they could make decisions that are best for the state of North Dakota, while also targeting some issues we felt were important with the other half.
Right, and I think that's key. I mean, the state should get a piece of the pie here, or the local community should get a piece of the pie. Do you have any idea how much money this might bring in to the state of North Dakota in terms of just tax revenue?
So there's three layers where it's going to bring in tax revenue. The first layer is the raw sale of marijuana itself, and that's going to bring in millions on its own. The second is we're going to open up new employment avenues for traditionally disenfranchised people, because a dispensary isn't really going to care if you've got a minor misdemeanor for marijuana on your record. Goes to reason, right? So people that aren't employed are now going to be able to find a decent paying job, $12 to $15 an hour, so they're paying income tax. Mm-hmm. The third source of revenue that really comes in is the fact that there is a provision to seal some records, not all, but some records, under the Shannon Roars Jones bill that was passed this session. We modified it to have an accelerated timeline for marijuana misdemeanor sealing. So as a result, now if you've got a misdemeanor when you were 21 with marijuana but 10 years work experience, you're probably going to get a better job and a raise as a result of this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be more money flowing into the community. So it's really threefold where we're increasing the revenue.
Sure. What have you learned from the last election compared to what you're looking to put on the ballot in 2020 about, I don't know if you did any surveying of people or you just talked to people about, you know, why they voted against it and what would make them vote for it. What have you learned since that last election?
So after the election and we lost, we did some soul searching and decided that we needed to do public opinion research to figure out why exactly we failed. And we found people were concerned about, again, the lack of regulation and the lack of it being clear cut. They were concerned about home grow, as in they were very against the idea of growing your own at home.
Which now you will not
is
allow?
Is not permitted.
And it would have been previously?
Yes. Okay. Under the previous one, it would have
okay.
been.
Okay, and
under...
I think that's a good move, not to allow it to be grown by individuals in their homes.
Yeah.
All right, I'm sorry, go ahead. I cut you off.
And the last thing we kind of learned is people wanted to be able to read it and know from page one to page whatever exactly what it did and not have a lot left to fill in the blanks. So we created a bill that's very explicit. The last one only had, I believe, we'll call it a page of new text. This one's nearly 44 pages long, and if you want to read it, you can go to the website, legalizend2020.com, and download it. But we did a lot more public opinion research when we were drafting this bill.
And that's good that you've learned. Tell the listeners why you believe recreational marijuana should be legal in the state of North Dakota.
So the reason I believe that recreational marijuana should be legal in the state is, one, it's objectively safer than alcohol. So we are currently prohibiting a substance that is safer than alcohol, and we're doing it in such a way that we are destroying lives and families. And that's the second thing. We are literally tearing families apart because of the war on drugs. And that sentence that you get, that doesn't just affect you when you're 18, 19, 20 years old. It affects you till you're 30, 40, 50. You create a permanent underclass of people that can't find meaningful employment. And ultimately, who ends up paying for that? The taxpayer.
Right.
I mean, I'm a conservative at heart. I don't believe that I should be paying for certain things.
Right. If a person got arrested for smoking a couple of joints, that's going to haunt him for years, if not decades. Whereas the person who was drinking a few beers, that's legal. So it doesn't matter. Yet what you're saying is, what's the difference between the two? And yet you're paying a long-term price for just inhaling something that's not nearly as dangerous as alcohol.
Yep. And the last thing that I really don't like is the stigmas that are attached to marijuana. A lot of people are on opioids in this state. You know it. I know it. We see it every day. We have a crisis in this state with opioids. And what we see is, in states with legal marijuana, you see a decrease in opioid abuse and overdose by approximately 25%. Approximately 25%. So that means one in every four people, according to the research, would get off opioids if they had the access to recreational or medical marijuana. And the last reason that I support this is the medical program is broken. It is irreparably broken at this point. We've spent 2 years trying to fix it. We've spent multiple legislative sessions trying to get the program working. There's either a lack of desire or a lack of knowledge in how to get this program working. And quite frankly, I think it's a lack of desire to get it working. And as a result, we've got to fix it.
Well, fortunately, you can look at other states. What are there, about a dozen states or so that have legal recreational marijuana? Or
it's between
more?
I think it's between 11 and 13, depending
okay.
on how you want to count D.C.
All right. So how is it going in those other states? Is it working?
It's working great. So like I said, we see that opioid overdose and abuse rate down 25%. We see violent crime fall somewhat. We see basically the economy is doing well in those states. You have increased tourism. You see all these positives that are going well in these states, and you don't really see the negatives that the opposition will claim. You don't see what they're talking about.
We have a couple of calls. Let's get to one now, and then we'll do the weather break. So let's go to Todd. Todd, you're on the air with Jim Shaw and David Owen. Go ahead, Todd.
Good morning. I have a question for your guest. And my question revolves around not being able to grow it at home. And my wife and I were thinking, well, if it becomes legal, what's the big difference of growing your own marijuana than brewing your own beer or making your own wine at home?
Quite frankly, I agree with you. There isn't a big difference, but the reality is this failed 40 to 60. And the single largest concern of people that voted no was that they didn't want home grow to be permitted. So I agree with you personally. I think home grow should be legal, but the people of North Dakota don't want it. And I would rather have legal marijuana without home grow than keep prohibition alive and send kids to prison.
Thank you, David. We have other callers. I promise we will get...
As Joel would say, it's Friday, Friday, Friday. Sit back and listen.
Jim Shaw here, wrapping up news and views on a beautiful Friday. Our guest, David Owen, leading the effort to get recreational marijuana passed by North Dakota voters. We have a couple of callers I want to try to get to before we have to say goodbye. So, Kevin, you are on the air with Jim Shaw and David Owen. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, a couple of observations. First of all, law enforcement across the board is against this, and that certainly should mean something because they are in a position to know what marijuana does to people's driving ability. And secondly, if you watch one episode, and I mean one episode of Live PD on A&E, they pull over people across the country that have done nothing but smoke pot, and they're just as drunk as somebody who had 12 beers. You ask them for their license, they hand you a roadmap.
All right, let's get a response from David. David?
So, one, don't drive high, kids. I agree. Driving high is a serious offense. It will not be legal under this measure. We made that 100% black and white, that driving high is not legal. Second, law enforcement opinions are actually fairly mixed about this. There's a group called Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. They're called LEAP. Check their website out. They talk a lot about how marijuana criminalization has utterly failed. And that is Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. They go by LEAP, the acronym, online.
Thank you, David. Let's go to Carl. Carl, welcome to News and Views. You're on the air with Jim Shaw and David Owen. Go ahead, Carl.
Well, good morning, David, Jim. This is Carl. Okay. Some observations with medical marijuana in the States. And I'm a Minnesota resident, and I know it falls under North Dakota, too. There's two problems with the medical marijuana compared to recreational marijuana. Medical marijuana, I know this for a fact because I deal with this firsthand. Medical marijuana, doctors will not tell you where to go. You go to your local doctor, and they will not say, okay, you want to go to this doctor. They will not advertise
it. The bigger problem is that doctors will not certify patients. But time is running short, Carl. Yeah. Can you pivot to recreational marijuana, which is what we're talking about? What's your point about recreational marijuana?
And the other point is the banks do not recognize it, the federal government, because it all has to be cash. Who can afford to have cash to go and get medical marijuana? That's the big thing.
Well, we're talking recreational in this case.
So he's right that there is a huge issue with the banking. This is one place where our Senator Kevin Cramer is doing a great job. He introduced the States Act, which would allow individuals to bank while they hold a dispensary, so long as the dispensary is legal in their state. That will allow people to use debit and credit cards in the immediate future. It's not done yet, but Kevin and a lot of senators across both parties and all the states are working on it, so we expect that issue to be resolved. I agree, you shouldn't have to carry $1,000 in cash to go get your marijuana. We're working on fixing that at the federal level, and we have the state bank as a safeguard at the state level that should resolve that.
David, in the couple minutes we have left here, and by the way, I want to mention that I support this, and I support it in large part of an issue you mentioned before, because it's important that people don't have this carrying around their heads for the rest of their lives, that we can expunge their records and they get a second chance at life for a minor marijuana violation. But my question is how do you connect to people this time? How do you make it work this time so that people will go for it? Can it happen? And why is this so important to you that we get recreational marijuana legal in the state of North Dakota?
So let me tell you a story about why it's very important to me. And this is just an example of countless people that face this problem. I had a buddy when we were in high school, and he was just graduating high school, was going to go join the Army. He gets caught with a marijuana charge. Okay, all of a sudden, he can't go join the Army. He can't defend our country. He can't fight in Iraq, which was where we were at the time. We're still there. So imagine that. The fact that someone who wants to fight for their country and defend freedom abroad is no longer able to because of a marijuana charge. I saw kids who lost their student loans. You spend 30 days in jail in North Dakota. Well, you just flunked that semester because it's not an excused withdrawal. And now you can't get your student loans and you're on academic probation. What are you going to do? That's another life that's destroyed. We are taking brilliant and talented people and we're turning them into people that can't do anything with their lives. It's got to stop. And rec is really the only answer because they won't pass decrim. We've tried. They won't
right,
do it.
Right. It went down shockingly in the North Dakota legislature. Well, keep up the efforts. There are too many people who are suffering in their entire lives, like you said, because they smoked pot and they got caught and they got busted and now they can't get a job or they can't do this or that. The punishment is way much more severe than the crime, and that has to stop. Also, I'm sorry to say what has to stop is this show for the day.